Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm glad you're with us today as we continue in our series on marriage. This is Session 5, and we hope you're enjoying and benefiting from the study. So, again, welcome to the Grace Guide to Marriage, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. This has been an exciting study for us, and something that I've been thinking about for a long, long time, and wanting to present this material in an organized way.
Yeah.
You know, we've put out nuggets of truth as far as marriage is concerned when people have asked questions about that. But we've been wanting to really kind of put this in an organized fashion and deliver it to you. And I think this is going to become a powerful resource for us in the months and years to come. But this is the Grace Guide to Marriage. There's four guiding truths that really are important in every single marriage. And we went all the way back to the beginning of Scripture. We went back to Genesis, to the creation story, how God created mankind in His image, and that He created them male and female. So that's important for us to understand. And then in creating mankind, male and female, he put his blessing on a relationship called marriage. And right there at the very beginning, he says that man is to leave his family, his mother and father. He's to hold fast to his wife, and the two are going to become one flesh. Those are three of the guiding truths. And then we've added a fourth, and that's serving one another in love. So we have this unique relationship called marriage. It's a relationship between one man, one woman, which is important for us to understand and to realize that's how the Bible has defined marriage. And within that unique relationship, we have the opportunity to serve one individual in a very special way in kind of living out this relationship that we have with Christ. So that's very important for us to understand. So God has called us to love our mates. God has called husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church. God has called wives to submit and respect to their husbands. And that's the special way in which they serve one another in love. Now, that doesn't define roles. That doesn't define hierarchy. It doesn't define any of those sort of things. It's just simply saying, if you're going to love your husband, this is the way you love your husband. And depend upon God and His Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ living in you to give you creative, innovative ways to carry that out, to show Him how much you respect Him and appreciate Him as your husband. The same to husbands. You're to love your wife as Christ loved the church. Well, you just have her to do that to in this relationship called marriage. And you depend upon the Lord to show her that kind of love. You depend upon the Holy Spirit to be creative and innovative with loving her in that unique situation. So we're going to talk about that aspect of marriage today. It's, I think, can be very, very practical and helpful to you and your relationship. But before we start getting into those specifics, I want to open up this time with a passage out of Ephesians chapter 5. And it says, starting in verse 15, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." So each individual, the husband, the wife, you're walking individually in dependence upon the Lord Jesus. And so in this passage, he's saying to you to use your time wisely and to understand what the will of the Lord is. And it says this, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." So what is the will of God for you? The will of God for you is to be filled with the Spirit. Now, what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? It means to be controlled by the love of God. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul prays for the entire body of believers and says, I pray that God would strengthen you by his Spirit in your inner man so that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that with all the saints you may have an understanding of the height and depth and length and breadth of the love of God, and to know this love which surpasses understanding, so that you will be filled with all the fullness of God. So to be filled with the Spirit is the same thing as being filled with all the fullness of God. And if you're filled with all the fullness of God, then Christ is at home in your heart. You're at home with him in your heart. You're comfortable with him being there. And you have an understanding, an experiential understanding of the love of God that has been poured out on you and in you through the person of Jesus Christ. So to be filled with the Spirit means that you're filled with a knowledge of the love of God, a heart experiential knowledge of the love of God, and that you are controlled by that love in your decisions, in your walk of life. Now, that's God's will for you, to be controlled by the love of God. Now, this is radical. This is revolutionary. Why? Because before you knew Christ, you were controlled by sin. You were controlled by the way of this world. You were controlled by the flesh. You lived to gratify the desires of the flesh. So everything that God made in creation, sin perverted. And so that's how you were living as a lost person. But now that you're in Christ, you've been raised to walk in the newness of life. And that newness of life is a dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ, which is going to manifest itself in love one for another. So a part of this dependency upon Christ is going to be the Holy Spirit strengthening you with power in the inner being so that you can understand the height and depth and length and breadth of the love of God. That's what's important. That's the very will of God for you in Christ Jesus. And if two people who are married, who are being filled by the Spirit, they've got great expectations for what this marriage relationship is going to be like.
Absolutely. Well, friends, this is Session 5 of the Basic Gospel Series, The Grace Guide to Marriage, with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. I'm Bob Davis. I'm glad you're with us today. You know, our purpose at Basic Gospel is to get this good news out by every means available to everyone possible, and we hope that you would like to share in the blessing of being a part of that. Your gifts do make a difference. We hear it every day, so please join with us, friends. You can donate at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. Again, that number, 844-322-2742, or online at basicgospel.net. Now, you folks in Canada can donate at basicgospel.net/Canada, and in other countries, you can use PayPal. It's a great way to support Basic Gospel.
Well, thanks, Bob, and I hope many people will take advantage of that. Certainly, this gospel message needs to be proclaimed, needs to be put out there. So we're asking people to help us get the word out. So hope many people will do that and join the Basic Gospel team and partner with us in this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So back to our marriage teaching today on the Grace Guide to Marriage. So we have two individual people, a man, a husband, and a wife. Both are in the Lord. So what we're talking about as far as marriage is concerned is two Christians that have come together. Last week, we said, here, we want you to do an exercise. We want you to step back, and we want you to look at your mate and see them as God sees them. So she may be your wife, and this person may be their husband. But above that is a higher relationship. They're brothers and sisters in Christ. They're both joint heirs with Jesus Christ. They're both children of God. And so we ask you to step back and take a look at your mate through God's eyes. See them as God sees them. And I think that's what this being filled with the Spirit is all about, isn't it, Richard?
Yes, and notice when because we took that part out of Ephesians 1. If you realize the truth and the power of Ephesians 1 in the context of marriage, this that we're just talking about now is the result of that.
Yes.
It's not the cause of it. It's the result of it. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory, working it out so that marriage becomes something so much more than we could ever imagine.
Right. And that's the key. It becomes something more than we could ever dream or imagine. Mm-hmm. And that's God's design. That's where God wants to lift us up to and toward. So we're filled with the Spirit. And we're not getting drunk with wine. We're not being controlled by wine. We're not letting our decisions be controlled by a substance, an inanimate substance, basically, that has no soul. We want to be controlled by the one who loves us and gave himself for us, Christ Jesus himself. So we address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what is this? What is a byproduct? What is a result of being filled with the Spirit? It is giving thanks always. And what a wonderful quality, what a wonderful characteristic to be the heart and soul of any relationship. Two people who are living in an attitude of thankfulness to the Lord Jesus for all he has accomplished for them through Christ's death on the cross and all that he's accomplishing through them right now through the resurrected Christ. So thankfulness is a key attitude within any relationship. I can think in my relationship with Gina, and I'm sure Bob and your marriage and with Diane and for many, many years, and Richard, you with Lois, when things were going through a rough patch, there wasn't a lot of thankfulness. There wasn't a lot of gladness of heart being shared one with another. We were ticked off because she wasn't doing things the way I wanted her to do it, or whatever it may be.
Or vice versa.
Yes, absolutely.
No.
So thankfulness is a key attitude. So when you feel yourself starting to or feel anger starting to bubble up inside of you, if you feel just things that are yucky bubbling up inside of you, it's time to step back and take a fresh look at Jesus.
Yeah.
It's time to get your eyes back on Jesus and allow this thankfulness to start bubbling back up. And that's going to change how you proceed. It's going to change how you handle this current situation. So being filled with the Spirit, one of the fruits of that is giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the second thing that you're going to see, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So these are the key attitudes that every marriage needs. Two people dependent upon the Lord, individually being filled with the Spirit, walking through life with a thankful heart, and then readily submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Yeah. So this is mutual submission.
Absolutely.
So this isn't saying that the husband is superior and the wife is inferior. This is saying here are two people, brother and sister in Christ, willfully submitting one to another, knowing that that is the best way to move forward as far as the relationship is concerned. It's important to understand that, isn't it?
It's vital to understand that because anything else must be broken. If I'm forcing my wife to submit to me, then I am subjugating her, and vice versa. If she's manipulating me, how can you build a relationship on that? But if out of this thankful heart, because of what Christ has done for us and through us, we realize that as we submit to him, we can submit to each other because each person is trustable because they are in Christ.
And Christ is in them.
You can't have that kind of trust if you're unequally yoked. And that's why we make such a strong point of that. This is not something you can say to a lost person, because what they're going to hear is, submit? Are you kidding me? I would never submit.
It would sound foolishness
yes.
to them. So that's why, as I know you do the same, and I do this in premarital counseling, the first thing that we talk about is their relationship with Christ.
Yes.
And for me, I've seen quite a number of people through that premarital counseling process come to know Jesus. And that's exciting. So this, you know, this resource can be an evangelistic tool, and it should be an evangelistic uh-huh. tool. Why? Because marriage without Christ is far below what God designed marriage to be. But marriage with Christ is the hope of it being everything God designed it to be. So we have a thankful heart. We're readily submitting one to another. And in doing that, then we can truly understand the needs of one another. And that's what we want to talk about in the next part of the broadcast today.
Well, it is The Grace Guide to Marriage at Basic Gospel. It's a series, friends, that to me just is rich in insight and on a subject that far too many couples struggle with. And that, of course, is the reason we prepared it for you. If you'd like a review of these sessions, you'll find the archive at basicgospel.net/teaching. Each week's session is added, and the entire series will be there at your disposal. So we hope you'll take full advantage of it and share this study with your family and friends. The Grace Guide to Marriage, and you'll find it again at basicgospel.net/teaching.
Well, thanks, Bob. So the next thing that we want to talk about is how husbands and wives are to treat each other within the context of marriage. And there's not a lot specifically said about husbands and wives. There's a lot said in the Word of God about relationships, what love looks like. And so all of that applies within the context of marriage. But there are a couple of things that the Bible really hits upon as far as the husband is concerned and as far as the wife is concerned. And so today I really want to take a look at what the Bible says to husbands. So wives, if you're listening, you can take some notes and be able to nudge your husbands along the way. But really, this isn't directed towards you. You know, when the Bible says now to husbands, he is speaking directly to husbands.
Yes.
This isn't a message to wives. This isn't a message to women. This is a message to husbands, specifically to Christian husbands. And here's the message to husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Now, let me back up just a second. One of the things that husbands like to read more than anything is what Paul said before this. Wives, submit to your own husbands. That's a verse that many husbands memorize. Yeah. But that verse is not directed towards you.
No.
That's between your wife and the Lord.
Yes.
And you're just the beneficiary. You're just you just to get to reap the benefits of your wife submitting to Jesus, depending upon Jesus, and allowing Jesus to do his thing through her towards you. So as far as you and trying to get your wife to submit to you as Christ commanded here in this particular passage, forget about it.
Yeah, stop.
Just
it.
Forget about it. That is not your job. Uh-huh. God has not called you to make sure your wife is carrying out what God has told her to do. You're simply to listen to what God is saying to you. And here's what God is saying to you. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever ate his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Now, this mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. So when he talks to husbands, he's saying, as you love your wife as Christ loved the church, then in that relationship, you're going to reflect out to the world something of even greater significance, the love of Christ for his bride, the love of Christ for the church of Jesus Christ. And that's an incredible purpose, isn't it?
Well, it is. And yet, we're not required to represent the whole church. I don't love my wife Lois and go, wow, you know, if I do this right, the church is going to... No. We're given this tiny little piece.
Yes.
And God knows that I can't even handle this tiny little piece without fixing my eyes on him. But when a whole bunch of husbands love their wives as Christ loved the church, then you begin to see the
right
picture. And again, that's Jesus's work. My work, him through me, is to love my wife that way. I mean, can you imagine if all of us loved our wives in the way that Christ loved the church and gave ourselves up for them?
Yes, yes, indeed. Now, the key word in this imperative, husband loves your wives as Christ loved the church, is this. It's the word security.
Yeah.
When you think of your wife, when you think of the church, when you think of individual Christians, look at the ways in which the Lord Jesus Christ goes overboard to give us the assurance of our salvation. How many times in the Word of God do we see information about his finished work, that when we are in Christ, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins?
Yeah.
How often do we see the good news that God has justified us, declared us righteous, has even given us his righteousness? Now, what do these truths do for each and every one of us? They put us on a secure foundation. They put us on a rock that is unmovable, that is unshakable. So time and time and time again, we see the Lord reaching out to us, giving us this sense of security in him. Why? Because it's truth.
Yes.
We see in John chapter 10 that we are in the hands of Jesus and no one can snatch us out of his
yes.
hands, and that his hands are in his Father's hands and no one can snatch us out of the Father's hands. Mm-hmm. And so what do we take from that? We take this unbelievable reality of security.
Yeah.
I am secure in Christ. Look at the fact that God sent his Spirit into our hearts, where in which we cry out, Abba, Father, and that God's Spirit bears witness with our spirit, assuring us that we are children of God. So what do we need as individuals, as the body of Christ? Security,
yeah.
assurance. Well, this is the thing that is needed as far as your wife is concerned. Any time that she is sensing kind of something is wrong, it's because that security has been challenged.
Mm-hmm.
It is out of balance. And if you are a wise husband, you will keep that in mind and you will address that. It may be something that you are doing where you are communicating to her in such a way that she's not number one in your life anymore. Well, pay attention, love her as Christ loved the church, give her the security she needs in that relationship. I guarantee you it's going to make a big difference.
Absolutely. Great stuff, guys. Thank you so much. And friends, we're glad that you're with us today for the Grace Guide to Marriage. If you have a question over the weekend or any time, as a matter of fact, drop an email to bob@basicgospel.net. Or leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. And please remember that we need your help to keep this new covenant message on the air and to spread the message of love, grace, and life in the Lord Jesus Christ to new listeners who have yet to hear. Again, that number is 844-322-2742. Or you can donate online at basicgospel.net. In Canada, it's basicgospel.net/Canada. Or donate with PayPal. We want you to partner with us, and we hope that that's your heart as well. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, Bob Davis with your invitation to be back on Monday for another edition of Basic Gospel. Have a great weekend, everybody.